What up, doe? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we'll discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all. Carry my city like some shoulder pads and strap. Evidently, I've been killing. Love, I believe in you. I won't run away, baby. No, no, no.
Remember, hey, we should say hi first.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, you know what? I forgot we recorded. My bad. Hey,
I warned you beforehand, but go off.
Allegedly. Do you have any documentation of this warning? Is there a production sheet or something that says my cue or this warning?
No, us recording right now should have been warning enough. But I mean,
I was listening to Selena Johnson.
Oh, wow.
You remember her?
Yeah.
Oh, radio.
Yes, I remember Selena Johnson.
Oh, the clip. Not from R&B Diva.
No, I remember Selena Johnson as an artist. Don't do that.
What's the name of one of her songs?
Guess what?
Okay. Go to play the boss. Guess what? Gotta pay the cost. Show enough. What's up, y'all? Let me stop. Yes, another episode of What Works For Us. All black.
All queer.
Okay, girl. You still want to. We still haven't figured that part out with the introduction, doing it a little bit. But I don't know if it's still good for them to hear our regular voice and not our pre-recorded voice, okay? You don't want to be like Kid Rock at the Super Bowl, you know, pre-recording the halftime show.
I don't know nothing about that particular show.
Did you watch the Bad Bunny show?
I saw clips from it.
Why would you that face said it all. Well, I don't, okay. Next subject. I'm just playing.
No, I'm not. Well, first of all, I'm not like the Taylor or Jill Zarin from Housewives. I don't have a problem. I didn't have a problem with the performance. I just watched clips. And I seen the production and everything from all the clips. But, you know, it looked like everything was good. It was very bright. It was a lot brighter than Kendrick Lamar's, which I think we need now. We need some brightness. Some light.
Right. Well, you know, shout out to Puerto Rico. Shout out to my Puerto Ricans, my Chinos, you know, my, you know, Afro-Latinos, my Latinos, my Hispanics, my Caribbean folks, you know, my, you know, island folks, wherever you land and all of that. Shout out to you. And what was the message? It's better with love than hate, something like that. Look at me misquoting, but yeah, all love, no hate. Bam. So we could check in, Emerson.
Well, my check-in has more so to do with our topic today. So maybe you should go first today.
Okay, so my check-in. So let me think about this, because, you know, we were talking offline. So as many of you may know that, like, I'm in a nonprofit, you know, advocacy world. I work in mental health and HIV, peer support here in Austin. And I work at an agency that, you know, I'm not going to name. But let's just say it's, you know, the stuff is hitting the fan. If you know nonprofit, you know that every so often, it seems like, at least where I'm at, like every year, it's like this uprising of people speaking for, you know, better treatment and better that. And it's always weird because I am on one end, right, a leadership role, right? And so, it like, some of the stuff that they say, I act like they're not talking about me, but I know it could pertain to me in some kind of way. You know, on the other hand, you know, I'm just like, yes, you know, stand up for the fight. We need to change. We need to fight for our rights. But it's always, I feel like, in every agency in all my years, or not even agency, every job I've ever had, it's always an imposter that shows up, that sells, you know, and we kind of talked about this last week a little bit. Well, what was our topic about? I can't remember. It wasn't the second half, like people not, what was it, Emerson? The topic we talked about?
We talked about the doctors, and then we talked about our participation trophies a little bit.
Oh, participation. So it's not the same thing. Okay, I was thinking about participation trophies. So it's not the same thing. I just stick with what I was saying, imposters, right? They come in, they sell themselves. They say they're going to do this. Of course, they're going to pick out everything that they can find is wrong and then act like they have the remedy for everything. And then it comes out that they really didn't know what they were talking about. They really don't know what they're doing. And when the shit hits the fan, they can't step up to the plate because, you know, it's all about broken promises. But I always feel like, though, people just need to stop dick riding. And I think that's what happens. Oh. Like, you think somebody's coming in as a great, you know, white savior, and then you realize it's not all what it's meant to be. Like you said, uh-oh.
I'm saying, because you said somebody came in as a great white savior.
Right. Right. I thought it was something. Right. And so you think, you know, you're looking at them to be what they're selling you instead of using your logical sense, and now you bamboozled and now you disappointed. And so I would just leave it at that. Like, and I guess my whole point is this is nothing new to me. Like, at so many places I've worked at, it's always someone coming in thinking they can make something better. But usually their goal is to turn people against each other with the thing that might be already going wrong, and then trying to make that the project instead of actually moving the agency or the organization or the project forward. So I just, you know, that's kind of what's going on right now, right? It's a lot going on, and I just stand with the people. I saw some people, speaking of like community stuff, I saw Chaz said that he got replaced at the black radio station by a white man during Black History Month.
Oh my god!
I gagged about that. I was like, oh my god. And so that's what I'm saying, like, this political stuff or this stuff that be going on in these organizations and programs and stuff, it goes across the board. And so I just, you know, I just think we need to make sure we have our thinking caps on. Like, okay, everybody that say they can do something, don't just believe it. Look at the results, right? Like, give them a chance. But if they haven't produced no results, don't just go by somebody's LinkedIn page only. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, everybody's
making a LinkedIn page look good. That's all I'm saying. So, I mean, that's why I'm at. What's your check-in about? What's your response to that? Like, have you experienced, you know, working with people that come in or management or somebody that's
absolutely
take it to the next level? They're going to change this thing around.
Absolutely. And I almost feel bad talking about this story during Black History Month because, well, you know what? Let me not say that. I used to have a lot of Black store team leads when I worked at Target, and the place we're not supposed to mention. But this was years ago when I worked there. So all y'all people that got something to say, save it, because this is not present. I don't work there now. And if I did, I need a check. But anyway, I'm not going to go there. But that back in the day, yes, I had a store manager like that. She came in and she was like, oh, I'm going to do this and then do this, like all this experience, and I'm a student. And she fucked the store up. Like, she just caused so much division and so much just chaos, and people was just coming to work stressed every day. She done sat there and she done fucked my area up, and she done went over there and did this and da da da. I mean, and she, but the thing about it was, though, she liked me. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the thing. Like, she actually liked me. She made sure she found hours for me. And, like, I had my 40 every week. And it was actually somebody else doing the same position as me. It was only supposed to be one of us. But she was like, she wanted somebody else to do it because she was trying to get somebody in there before she got rid of him. So, but she just wasn't being secretive about it. So, but no, she was a hot mess. Like, she act like she was just going to take that store and take us to a new level. And she just caused a war within the store. I'll never forget that.
So, yeah, and that's kind of what a lot of people's upset. But, you know, shout out to all, you know, my community people. And really, outside of that, I feel like we're just at a time, you know, not to get political, right? But, you know, I work in HIV and funding is being attacked, right? LGBTQIA rights is being attacked. Think about the HIV Awareness Day. February 7th was HIV Awareness, National Black HIV and AIDS Awareness Day. but the America no longer recognizes it, right? Like they have washed away all the awareness days off the CDC and the state websites. And so I feel like just in general in my field, it's a sense of, you know, uncertainty, stress, like trying to figure out how we're going to make this thing happen, how we still going to get people, you know, how we're going to still, you know, get rid of HIV and eliminate HIV and get people tested and get people to zero and all of these things and undetectable and all of this stuff. And where's the money going to come from? And so I just think it's a tough time. And not only just, you know, HIV, right? You know, mental health funding is being, you know, slashed across the board. Education funding is being slashed across the board. So just shout out to everybody in community and education. Well, not just America. I was just thinking about what they were saying. It wasn't Amazon, but it was some big company here getting rid of 100 people by, Meta, getting rid of 100 people out of Austin by April, right? And I'm like, by April? That's around the corner. And you know what I'm saying? So just shout out to everybody in America. It's rough. It's rough. So that's why I'm saying your job is important. So, you know, kudos to the ones that are standing up against the big bad wolves for sure.
Remember when, and absolutely, yes, it's rough. But do you remember when just not too long ago, they was telling us to quiet, quit our jobs? How quickly the tables turn. Because I'm like, go ahead.
But you see how Ariana Grande was getting attacked because she was telling people to walk, not to go to work. On like, it was like a blackout day, like don't go to work.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Work for and stuff like that. And they were like, well, she's a multimillionaire. How are you telling people who, you know, paycheck to paycheck not to go to work? What if they don't got PTO? What if they need their PTO if their child gets sick? So it's like a catch 22, right? Like, wow. We know these blackouts and boycotts work, but when you're right on the edge of survival, like how much can you really sacrifice for the greater good? Even though, and yeah, I'm just gonna leave it at that because we just don't, you know, I think that's a different threshold depending on where someone is, right? If they got kids, that's a different ball game than, you know, someone single, you know, like JT said, you know, I live a very different life than you, you know? And so, I think that's very important in that. So, but yeah, the table, you know, the tables have turned for sure.
Yeah, that's, you know, crazy.
And what was your check-in about? What's popping on your end, you know, in this, you know, month of love and stuff like that?
Well, my birthday was last Saturday, so I'm officially fucking 42. Like Beyonce at the Renaissance concert. Yay.
Mid-40s.
No, not yet. But so, yeah, Saturday happened and came. And it's so weird. My birthday was on a Saturday and I didn't turn up or anything. But I really was just like, I just kind of had a plan in my head. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to wait for my turn up because there was something particularly I was like, I want to do. So I was like, that's going to be my turn up. So I was like, I'm not going to do anything else. So I just did what a spinster would do. I just went walking down at Town Lake or Lady Bird Lake, whatever you want to call it. They opened up the Wishbone Bridge. And I felt like that was kind of like a historical moment. I was like, well, it opened on my birthday. So I can always look back at that. Like, yeah, they opened that on my birthday and I actually went and walked on it that same day. So that's what I did. Walked downtown. And you know, that was great. And it was, I felt good being outside. I felt like a little kid going outside. Like we was talking about how, you know, I wanted to be back in the hood and on the block in the last episode. So now I'm like, well, I wasn't on the block, but I was outside. I definitely wasn't on the block. No, I was outside, but not on the block. Definitely. But even still, very much so. Right. But one of the things that stood out to me was, and not in a bad way, but was all the disabled people that I saw that were out and how they were walking or getting their exercise in whatever way they could. And it just really made me think, like, we make all these excuses and you have these people out here. Like this one guy, when I had just passed Congress and in some apartments on to the side, and this guy came on a wheelchair and he came rolling on a wheelchair and he was pretty much like behind me all the way almost to almost got to 35. But then eventually he passed me. But then not too long after he passed me. Yeah, he passed me eventually. But eventually he stopped and he just took a deep breath like, and I'm like, yeah, you earned that. Because like you did that because you've been willing for what you've been out here willing for a while. And I was thinking like, wow, the excuses that us able-bodied people make to not do certain things that we need to do, such as like even exercise. But you have people who are disabled who are out here getting it. I saw a lady who she was having issues like walking. I don't know what the issue was particularly, but she would walk. She would get her walk on and she had a limp, but then and she'll take a little break. She'll just walk a little bit and then she'd take a little break, walk a little bit and take a little break. And it was just, it just caught my eye. I was like, wow, there's no, I have no excuses not to do what I need to do to be mobile and move my body. When you have these people out here, I was in awe of them. So that was something that definitely caught my eye. And it just was, nice to see. And then, you know, there was a lot of men outside, you know, with no shirts on, you know, so you get that too. A little eye candy.
Did you bump into somebody?
No. No, I walk too slow. They're all faster than me. I be out there walking like, you know, a turtle. I don't, you know, I don't,
girl.
Yeah, I Sophia. Don't be out there trying to get it. So they, right. So they be out there, you know, like road runner. So if anything, they're very polite. Nobody bumps into you or anything like that. You know, and it, normally when I'm out there, I don't have no problems or anything like that. So yeah, it was cool. So there's that. But also something I want to talk about in my check-in was because we were talking about AI last week and I have a good experience with AI and I have a bad experience with AI. Now, the experience first was good. It's kind of bad, but it's kind of working out in good because of AI. And that's honestly to do with this, our YouTube channel for the podcast. And I created a channel and YouTube shut it down like 5 days later talking about they thought I was a bot. So I didn't know what to do. I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? Because there's no customer service line you can call for YouTube. Ain't no chat. No, there's nothing. I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? So I went to ChatGPT and I told ChatGPT what happened. And ChatGPT was like, okay, so, you know, what message did you get? What did they send you? What did they say? So I copied and pasted exactly what they said. So I was like, okay, this is what you need to do. And they give it to you step by step. Go here. Go on X. Hit up this page. Make sure you're following them and tell them exactly this and don't say anything else. So I did exactly what they told me to do. I went on X, reached out to the YouTube team. I think that's what the ad is and said, you know, what they told me to say. So I eventually got a response. And I told them what my response was. I told ChatGPT, okay, I got a response. This is what my response is. So they like, good. So now you got a response. You know, do what they said to do. And then that's it. Don't do nothing else. They was like, don't go try to make another page. Don't try to go circumvent the system. Don't do anything. Just wait. Because they was like, they put you in the queue. So in the queue that they put you in is, you know, it's like probably backed up. And it's manual. So it's humans going through it. So they might, it might take a minute for them to get to you. So they eventually, I reached out to them, they reached back out to me, and then I didn't hear from them again. So I was like, well, I haven't heard from them again, so what should I do? So ChatGPT was like, okay, well, you can say this, but this is all you can say. Because you're like, don't enable, and ChatGPT was like, don't get emotional. Because I was seeing other people getting emotional, and they're like, well, I need my channel, I need you to do this, that, that. ChatGPT was like, no, don't do that. Just say this, and that's it. Don't say nothing else. So I did that. So I think it was yesterday I got a response from them. I fucked up because my DMs, I couldn't get messages in my DMs. So I fucked up. So I was like, well, I fucked up. I didn't have DMs open and I had that. Maybe that's why they heard from me and or heard from them. And they was like, ChatGPT was like, don't worry about it. This is what you need to do. So I'm like, okay. So I did. Long story short, they ended up reaching out to me in my DM and asked me for my email address to go to the next step. And then I told ChatGPT, I'm like, no, they asked me to do this. I'm like, so what I did was like, well, give them the information and say this and then wait. So I'm waiting now. But they told me I'm in a good space because they was like, ChatGPT said, you know, this is the process. So this is how you can use ChatGPT as a tool and it can work for you. And, you know, and it definitely did work. But so that's the good of ChatGPT. Now let me tell you the bad of ChatGPT. So I was watching the other day, I watched the last episode of Mama's Family when she passed away, after she passed away. I had never seen that episode before.
I don't know if I've seen that episode.
Yeah.
Thelma Harper passed away at the end.
Yes, she did. She ended up passing away. And yep, so the episode was after after the funeral, and all the siblings was together. Eunice, I forget the son.
Vincent Harper.
Was it Vincent Harper? Yep. And then Rose from she wasn't there. Naomi wasn't there, but Rose, I forgot her. She was one of the sisters too. Rose from Golden Girls. I forgot her name though.
Right.
Anyway, they was all there. So I'm just watching, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then somehow I went down a rabbit hole, and then something about Tutu. Oh, what happened? So I think something about 227 came up on my like recommended page, and I just started thinking about 227, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, Mary and Sandra and them. I was like, well, I never knew where what they came. I never knew where it was based from. I didn't know what city it was supposed to be based out of. So I was like, well, where was it based out of? And it told me, and it was like, well, it's based out of Washington, D.C. From the projects. And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, Mary and Sandra did not stay in the projects. And it went and told me this whole thing about how they stayed in the project. And I asked Chad, I was like, well, wait a minute. I was like, you telling me Sandra stay in the projects? And Chad was like, well, yeah, because, you know, she was young and, you know, she had a degree, but she was young and she was just starting off her career and everything like that. So I was like, I was like, I'm not buying that shit. So I went and looked, and I, you know, did my own digging, and I found a page where it said that they was a middle class family that stayed in an apartment building that was, you know, for middle class people. It was not the projects. So I put the link and I was like, no. Right. So I put the link in there, and I'm like, look at this link. I was like, and check your information, fact check yourself. Cause I was like, Mary and Sandra did not stay in the projects. So ChatGPT like, oh yeah, you're right. They didn't stay in the projects like other shows, like Good Times and The Cosby Show. I was like, you are not going to tell me that Claire Huxtable and Phil Huxtable stay in the damn project. I'm like, you're not going to tell me a doctor and a successful doctor with his own practice and a successful lawyer stay in the project. I'm like, they did not stay in the projects. And okay. I was like, fact check yourself, because you cannot sit up here and tell me that. They was like, oh, you know what? You're right. They were kind of a middle class family with a successful doctor.
Kind no,
they
of. Did.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, you tripping, ChatGPT. So yeah, that's the bad. Because they were saying that they couldn't find any information to fact check. I was like, well, there's no fact. Because I didn't think I found a link for that one. I just went off on that one. I didn't go in and get right. So I'm like, you're not going to tell me Phil.
You keep calling him Phil Huxtable.
Why I keep on calling him Phil? That's what his name. What was his name?
Cliff Huxtable.
Yeah. Cliff Huxtable.
That was Phil Banks.
Phil Banks. Right. I'm getting confused. Yeah. But I still didn't say they lived in the projects, though. And I was like, you're not going to tell me that they lived. You're not going to tell me the Cosbys lived in the projects. You are not going to say that. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. Yeah, I know I'm right. So, yeah.
You got to check that stuff. You got to check that stuff for real.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of biases, a lot of misinformation. And it's no different than like Wikipedia, how we go to Wikipedia thinking that's just guaranteed information. And I believe Wikipedia probably influenced some of the stuff that we get from ChatGPT for sure.
Oh, it does. Because I had to check ChatGPT. I had to put in a prompt to make sure that ChatGPT, and I said, remember this. I forgot what the prompt is exactly, but I told it that you need to give me factual information that you're getting from proper sources. You cannot, and don't source social media. Don't source any of that kind of stuff. If you can't find, if you're getting it from places like Reddit and social media, I was like, then that's not, don't give me that information. It's fact, pretty much. Right. And I'm going to remember that. And it's been doing pretty good, but I've still been checking it again. I'm like, okay, because you tried it. They pissed me off. I say he, because my voice is Bruce or Spruce on there. Spruce the voice. He sounds black to me. But anyway, yeah, I'm like, you're not going to tell me that. It pissed me off. I'm like, okay, ChatGPT, girl. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of AI, just to go with that, like, so I've been avoiding like a lot of AI animation and different stuff and reenactments and stuff like that. But I see this AI porn that kind of caught my attention, and I felt bad. I was like, am I supposed to? Because I've never got into like animation, you know, porn. It's just not my thing, right? Like, I've seen it like, ha-ha, you know, Bart Simpson, ha-ha, you know, Maggie or right. something like crazy like that. But I ain't never been like, oh. And I was just scrolling on my Alt Twitter or whatever, or Alt X, and I could tell it, well, it said AI porn. That was the name of it. And it looked so good. Honest. It was the scenario was all into it, and I was just like, you know, I was this second. I was like, this. I don't know if I can jack off to AI porn. Like, is that something wrong? It makes me uncomfortable.
Really?
Like, yeah. It just seems like, okay, this is. And I think because it's AI, because at least with the animation, I felt like it is some effort. It's usually a comic. It's comedy, right? Like, animation has some level of, like I say, like a comedic undertone, usually when I see it, you know, right? This is not right. This is, like, supposed to be, like, real porn, but you know it's not. It's AI. And I'm like, okay, am I supposed to, like, it's just weird. Like, what if you walked in and your man would watch your AI porn? Like, how would you feel about that?
I probably wouldn't trip about it. I wouldn't understand it. Because I feel like AI porn, to me, it kind of looks, I can kind of still tell, even though some of the stuff
right,
now.
Right.
Yeah. So I think for me, it's just like, okay. But I wouldn't judge, like, oh my God, you jacking off to AI porn. Like he committed a crime. Like, that's just like, oh. Interesting.
I mean, I feel like, well, is it like, do you have a problem? Like, I don't know. I might ask some questions because I'm like, well, I mean, I guess it could turn you on, but knowing that it's fake, I guess porn is fake in general, though, right? Like,
yeah.
Actors in real life, they're not really fucking a cousin. You know, I've been seeing a lot of twins. Like, what is going on with the twins across the world? They're really getting down.
Oh,
that was a side note. Back to your check-in. Yeah, you got to check AI. That is funny that you had those two experiences sometimes AI do be pissing me off because I be wanting them to answer, like give me the answer and stuff, and they be acting like they don't can't find it. I hate it. I'm like, you supposed to know everything. You know,
well, you
supposed
to be asking some pretty complex questions. You would though.
I would ask. I can't even remember the last one that I asked, and they kept. And it was only like one thing, and it wasn't really giving me. Oh, I was looking up at an accreditation of a university or whatever. I was like, "Well, where has there any scandal accreditations? What's going on with this university?" And it wouldn't. It was like, "Oh, everything seems nice," but didn't have anything. It was just responding, right? And it, like you said, didn't have any facts, like, because the other universities and stuff I was looking at, it was able to give me some information, but it wouldn't give me no information from this one. And so that was already a red flag in my book anyway. But I wanted AI to say it's a red flag, you know, or give me a hint. But I also think, you know, again, depending on why someone is asking, that could be pre-prompt not to give out negative truths about something, because somebody could be funneling in, you know, I don't know if you could pay, but I'm pretty sure you can influence what AI will give out as information and what's not, right? I don't think you could just look up anything, and if somebody probably can influence what the answer could be.
Absolutely, because I looked up something about them files, and it damn near malfunctioned.
The Epstein, it malfunctioned.
Damn near. What did I ask? I think I asked something about, I could actually probably look it up if it's still there, but I think it was something involving the president and like his name being in there. Oh no, I was asking about the girls. I was asking about, I was like, well, where did these girls come from that they was getting? I'm like, where did they funnel? You know, I guess it was just, it's normal. It's like regular, you know, trafficking. But I mean, I just was like, right. I just was confused. I'm like, well, where are all these girls coming from that they are getting that were so young? Like, where did they get them from? And, you know, just like curious. I'm like, because how did they have so many young girls? And it eventually it tried to answer it. And then it just like malfunctioned. It like hallucinated. And it was just like, I can't talk about that, pretty much. So I was like, okay.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, but then that is the president. So I definitely feel like if ChatGPT is going to suppress stuff, it would be because the DOJ is involved and all, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. They would definitely have what's in control. But I mean, it shouldn't, right? We're in America, free press, so we shouldn't have the government restricting information that should be, you know, available to the public. I mean, and I guess that's what we hear, you know, that's what we're going through right now, right? Like the Epstein files are supposed to be, you know, for the people. But yeah, so I mean, shout out to everybody who's watching. I'd like to know if you listen to the episode, hit us up and let me know if you watched some AI porn. And it like, or did you like gradually get into it? Was it something that at first you was like, no, or this like, or maybe AI porn is because you could, I mean, I guess with AI porn, I wonder if it's like an AI porn site. Not like, I mean, where you can make it like as a user instead of like, I'm pretty sure it's people who's using AI to make porn.
Yeah.
But I wonder if like I can go like the Pornhub AI and type in, find nigga that work at the grocery store around the corner with a six pack and a 12 inch dick with some Timberland boots. And, you know, and fuck it, this boy across the counter with like, he's spitting.
Oh, wow.
Like, can you create your own? Can you create your own?
Like, I'm sure if it's not here now, it's probably something being cooked up soon.
Your old fantasy? Like, you can create your own, like, because you know how it is with porn, like, you always looking for that something, right? So what if, like, you just log in and be like, I want to see back shots from across the room and somebody playing dice on the side and the husband walk in. And he,
And to me, it's not even, shout out to people who had that kind of imagination, and I'm glad you brought that up because this is kind of going to tie into what we're talking about today, too, but I think the delusion of it all, I think that's what's going to make or mess up the dating world even more. Because if you could just go in and create the perfect scene of the perfect man that's giving you, you know, and you make believe, and you can even put in there that it's like you. You can maybe put a picture in there and it look like it's fucking you. Then you going to start thinking like, well, that's what I should get for real. I mean, six feet, whatever your description was, 12 inch dick, you know, six pack, you know, like that's the man I want. That's the type of man. And everybody going to think they can get that. And then we going to be even in a more fucked up situation in the dating world than we already are. But I mean, because it's already bad with just OnlyFans and people, you know, with their relationships with these actual real people, they think they're in. So with AI, that's going to, I mean, it's creative, but I just think that it's gonna be more, people are gonna be even more delusional in what they want and what their wants are, or even what they want their sex to be like.
But what if he can make it because AI would like can't you make it where the response of the emotions of the sex is like real, like, could
make it worse if it was like real emotions from the people, and then you think that making it like they fucking you, like, I mean, I ain't gonna say worse, I just think it would be more attachment to the AI. You know, people are already making like AI call them bae and baby and all this kind of stuff, so.
And it's weird because, like, we're talking about that now and Alexa and all of that, but I remember, like, back in the day. When people were getting like attached to their little robots and their little, you know, electronics and stuff like that. Like, it's like we're seeing it in real time, but honestly, we should have known all this was coming because I don't know. It's some movies in my head. I can't name them where the guy was like obsessed. Wasn't it like a movie he was obsessed with like his computer robot? Voice thing, was it her or something like that?
I don't know the name, but I think I did see something like that. I feel like it's older though, maybe. I might have seen something like that back in the day. Yeah.
Like it was something back in the day that was given all of that.
Yeah.
But I mean, speaking of love, we're in the month of love.
Yes.
You know, what are some of your thoughts that come across your mind at 42? When Valentine's Day is coming or came with or went, or like just what comes to mind for you?
Honestly, I guess I would say nothing. I know something is coming up. I know it's a holiday of love, and I like to see all the the zhuzh of it and all the, you know, I like to see people like the girls with the galentines and they decorating their galentines, you know, the decorating whatever space they are for galentines and stuff like that. It's cute to see. For me personally, though, I'm kind of numb to it. And it's, yeah, I'm kind of numb to it because oddly enough, like you would think because my birthday's on the 7th and Valentine's Day is a week later, you would think that like I would just have like a lit like experience, like your birthday and Valentine's Day is a week apart. Like, hello, like that's, I'm pretty sure you bomb.com Valentine's Day and birthdays, you could just put them together. But no, never been my experience in 42 years. So outside of maybe like school when you used to, you know, have candy and stuff like that and we give each other cards and stuff. But I mean, but as an adult, no, it has not worked to my benefit. So I guess I really don't think anything of it. I don't put that pressure on myself like some people do. And I don't have a Valentine's Day. I don't even think about that. It's just like, oh, it's here. And I, you know, if I go somewhere, I might wear red, but that's just like kind of like the end of it. I don't really think anything else of it. Not, no shade though. I would if I was in a situation where I could, but I just think maybe I'll just black it out because I'm like, well, it don't apply. So I guess I just let it fly.
That's interesting. Remember that that photo shoots that I would do for Valentine's Day with my ex?
Yes, that I thought was so cute. Right.
We did like 2 years in a row. It was interesting. I mean, I'm here with you, right? Like as a single person, I would say I didn't even know until you told me Valentine's Day today. I wasn't even putting two to two together. Mm-hmm. But it's not that I'm against it. I mean, I plan on having sex in some capacity at somewhere, or like I've been celibate. You know, every time I get on this mic, I'm celibate, you know, quote unquote. But, you know, I feel like don't make that face, bitch. I don't want to go through, it's not that I don't want to go through Valentine's Day without, I think it gives me a reason to be sexual. Because I think so often, I mean, I'm a sexual being and I am pretty, you know, sexual in a way, like when I go out and that's not like something I'm just, you know, what you call that, like hiding from, or like not expressing interest in somebody that I like or something like that. But in most cases, it's not always going to like the next level, right? Like I'm just okay with just meeting people. And if we do talk, then maybe, you know, I've gotten comfortable with just being single. But I think by the time they do give you a reason for being single, since everybody else is going to be booed up, is to like unboot up people. Let's boo up for a night or the weekend or some capacity. And so I'm looking forward to that part of it. Like if, you know, like if I was, you know, a younger person, like would they say scoring, you know, or, you know, getting it in on Valentine's Day or around that time. I'm not going to say it got to happen on Saturday, right? Like that's a little lame. But I think I will have a little bit more intentions around maybe being intimate because it's Valentine's Day.
Okay.
I would say that, but yeah, but like going on, you know, yeah, I would say that. Like, I'm not, yeah.
I mean,
I wouldn't be trying to force something else.
Oh, that's a good, right. That's a good point to make because I was about to ask, like, well, I guess I have a couple of questions. So, like, I guess maybe I ask this question, then I ask the next one, the other one next, but. Well, I guess for you, since you're talking about being booed up or with somebody or something like that, and, you know, I feel like a lot, you know, it's not no secret in Austin. You know, a lot of people be trying to get at you or want you or desire you. And I guess, you know, you're misunderstood in a lot of ways. I think a lot of people don't necessarily, you know, they don't be knowing what to do. So I'm just going to try to do all y'all people out there who's interested in Mr. Telltales. I'm going to try to do y'all a solid just in case y'all ever was able to go to the next step and have him explain out loud. What would be an ideal Valentine's Day? You kind of said what it is for you as a single man, but as in a relationship or somebody that you're talking to, what would ideal situation for Valentine's look like for you from the receiving end? Because, you know, like it, all that cliche stuff that we see on the social media and stuff like that, everybody don't want that, you know, and no. I kind of don't think that Tyreek would want a lot of that stuff. So I would like to, you know, what your what would be bomb.com Valentine's Day for you? From a boo that you actually like.
I would say this, right? Let me, before I get there, right? So this past weekend, I had a friend come over. Well, no, we were out and about. We were out and about. We were in the streets. And we ended up back at my place. And we were still drinking. We were still lit. It was like 2 in the morning. And then he was like, oh, you got a record player? I was like, yeah, I got a record player. And we started pulling out records, right? And we were like in the living room, like on the floor with the pillows, all the lights on. I'm like, it's 2 in the morning. Why is it so bright? And we stayed up like taking shots and drinking. You said what?
Young ho.
But the young hoes don't keep the lights on. That's why I was upset that it was so many lights on.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You're a young ho because you want it to be dark.
I'm a young ho. It's supposed to be dark. And we were laying and we were just listening to, and I've said this before on the show, like Nina Simone and Donny Hathaway, and like for hours, like listening to the lyrics and just... Mm. Like, it wasn't no roses, no flowers. It was very unintentional. It was us just creating space with one another. And it was wonderful, right? Like, we were able to talk about stuff that we were listening to. We were able to talk about, like, art and the artists, our own stuff. Just, like, okay. Conversation. So I would say for me, like, if it's somebody that I... really interested in for Valentine's Day, I think the first thing that I'm looking for is really someone that I can really just have conversation with. I think that's a big part. I like to have stimulating conversation, and not about politics and about the, you know, all of that, like, you know, what you believe, like what everybody else talking about in the world. Like, what it is, like, you, like, I like the stripped down version. I feel like, too, not often enough people get a stripped down version of me. And I only feel that kind of vulnerability with, I feel like somebody else is presenting that kind of vulnerability. Not trying to, like, I don't want to just talk about Brandy because, you know, Brandy's my favorite singer, or talk about Bad Bunny because he performed at the Super Bowl, right? What is, like, but what, like, so if you are Latino, like, what was Bad Bunny? What was that for you? Like, what did that mean? Like, what did you see in that? And, like, teach me some stuff about what it is to be Puerto Rican, you know, in America, or, right, you know, even though, like, that's a conversation around, you know, being an American. That's a conversation around if your family is other Latino. Now, we can get to those topics around ICE and immigration, but we're not just having that conversation because that's what everybody else is talking about. I don't want to hear your current political views. But I would like to engage in a conversation. So my ultimate thing, it would be somewhere where we could just do the most talking and the most talking and be the most vulnerable. And I think, I don't know what that means exactly. So it could be just, I think the, going back to what you said, the less would be more for me. Like, if it feels performative, like, if you're forcing me to find a dinner date, like, we're not there yet. Like, if we are in a relationship, of course, those are obligations. But if we're not together, I'm not obligated. I don't feel that we got to make an obligation to one another that we have to find a restaurant. Not all the restaurants are going to be booked. Not all the restaurants are going to be overly expensive. Not all the restaurants are going to be full of people who've been in love and married at anniversaries. Bitch, I just met you, or bitch, I'm just getting to know you. So why are we doing that now? Like, let's strip down. And it's kind of like, I'm more into the strip down of stuff. And that might be corny, but like, even like with your Lady Bird Lake stuff, right? Like, that's a stripped down version of something. Make it romantic. That's romantic, but it's stripped down. It's not pressure. It's like, let's meet up and talk. And if you so happen to bring one flower and I bring one flower and that's all, and that's fine. Like, if that's what it is, if we had to do so, if we wanted to be cute in that way. So I think that would be ideal. I think, yeah.
Very thoughtful if somebody did something like that too. I think Which brings me to my next question, the kind of like, I guess the topic of what we've been talking about is like being in a relationship in love just performative nowadays? Is everything performative? Like, is like, you know, in the news recently, you know, a popular female rapper and her footballer ex-boyfriend, I guess popular. At this point, broke up. A rapper, female rapper, whatever you want to call it, they broke up, and it's a lot of information or stuff coming out about this female rapper as far as the relationship goes, and it pretty much is saying like their relationship was performative, like she was the relationship for cameras. But Kiki, Do You Love Me, the girl who Ashley Drake was talking about, his baby mama, she is the one that he actually likes, allegedly. That's why she was at that game with the gear on and stuff like that, because she the one that he actually likes. But Cardi is for cameras. So it just makes me, and it, talking about Valentine's Day, and you saying stripped down version, you know, we're going to see a whole lot of people on Valentine's Day with the hotel rooms with the balloons and the flowers and the rose petals, you know, and, you know, I love you on the back of the wall on the hotel. We're going to see that. And it's like everybody and their grandma do that. And it's like, but then the next couple of days you find out, well, in one case I found out after somebody did something like that, that one, somebody ended up murdered or unalived. Sorry, unalived. Somebody ended up unalived after, and it was actually the male ended up unalived after they had this cabin retreat and they had all the pictures and all that stuff. And then somebody ended up murdered in the next couple of days. So, a day or two after. So, and that's unfortunate. But my point is, it's just, are we just at a point now where we're just so into being performative and, you know, in relationships, or we want social media to see it that, you know, that's just the focus. I need this to look. It's the look. I need the look. I need the relationship to look a certain kind of way to social media, my friends and my girlfriends and everybody like that. And we got to get that part right. But anything in a relationship as far as just, you know, connection and actual love and feelings, like Ayanna Van Sant said that we're getting away from feelings in relationship, which I agree 1,000%. It's like none of that matters. It's just about the stuff that's surface and that's for show. So, yeah, you saying that, I can appreciate that, because I think I would want to see more people with a stripped down version. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with having fun on Valentine's Day and doing the stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, it's nothing wrong with getting into
it. Like, yeah, Christmas.
Yeah, you could get into it. I'm not saying you can't get into it, but I feel like some people's just focus is more so that, you know, I need everybody to see, you know, that I'm, you know, you doing all this stuff for me, and you taking me to Roof Crest and all this kind of stuff. Please don't come at me.
It's so dated.
Yeah, don't come at me with that bullshit.
And I think for me, a person who my more recent relationship, I don't want to be so specific. I remember starting this podcast, I was very vocal about a lot of stuff in that relationship. But I feel like that relationship was a lot of that. So some person, as someone who experienced putting on, I think it is performative. And I would say this, because I'm about to go in. I think sometimes, though, performative is all you got to change something around. You get what I'm saying? Stuff can be so bad that it takes Valentine's Day to force a couple to reset or to re-look at something or rededicate themselves or recommit themselves or re-engage with people, right? Like, it really do, right? Like, and I think that's a lot of what's going on. While how sometimes I think it's, of course, the people who are happy, this is the day of celebration, this is their love, you know, they might have got married on this day, it might be their 20th anniversary, they're happily married, whatever that looks like, they could be open, monogamous, whatever it is, this is a day for them to show their appreciation. And I think for other people, it can be a day to reset because things are not going as good, right? I think it's, like, from a mature standpoint, I can see, and I have done this, right, like, you know, birthdays or holidays or Valentine's Day, days where you realize, okay, you really do love this person. This is the person I choose. Let's think about this. Let's start over. Let's move forward, and, you know, or let's talk this out, right? Like you the love of my life. I fucked up. You fucked up. We ain't talked since Christmas because you got mad that I was working at Christmas, that I called you. And then you went through my phone on, you know, New Year's Eve and you saw my ex text me and we ain't talked. I've been sleeping on the couch since New Year's Eve. Now here, you know, here's Valentine's Day. Like, let's move on. I see that. So I do want to recognize that because I think it's important for relationships to have those mile markers because relationships can get, you know, just mundane, like the same thing over and over again and stuff being not addressed or not that recommitment or just assumption that shit is going good and it ain't, right? People ain't happy because, you know, I've been sleeping on the couch since January. I keep sleeping on the couch. That's our new relationship, right? Because I ain't got nowhere else to stay. And, you know, this is, we splitting the bills. But I also think to pay to make to your point, hell yeah, it's performative. I feel like one of the biggest issues I had in relationships is I said all the time, don't come at me with that TV bullshit. I have never auditioned for Love and Hip Hop. I never auditioned for the Housewives of Atlanta. I don't give a fuck about what they're doing on Baddies. I don't care what Kreisha or JT is doing with their baby daddies. I don't give a fuck. Don't come at me with all that stuff you see on TV. And I think it's really hard to have genuine relationships now that is not rooted into some kind of performative, like everything is performative, right? Like where you were, like LinkedIn, like I was on LinkedIn. I'm like, LinkedIn is one of the most performative, like it's almost like, girl, I don't give a fuck. I don't care, right? It's so performative, right? Like that you can get a fucking crayon. It's like, oh my God, I got a crayon today. It's red and it's glitter. Shout out to everybody who supported me while I was getting this crayon. You know, it's like, girl, the crayon was, it's matte finished. And, you know, it's just like, you know, I'm still looking for work, and, you know, but I got this crayon. I'm highly qualified. You know, it's just, it's so performative, right? Like we have an app that is it's meant to be. That's why I love it at the same time because I just be soaking it in, like, girl. But it's so performative. It's like taking your resume and bitch doing a whole, you know, reality TV show of your resume, right? Like that's what LinkedIn is, right? And so I think the same difference in relationships, I think especially with just, you know, the young hoes and the YNs and all of that, we're just in that performative mindset. And I think, and it's like, it's gotten to the point, and also I think in the hood and stuff, we just was getting teddy bears and flowers when we was young people in the hood. We wasn't living this life that these young people are living now, right? Like these YNs and these young hoes that's talking about Ruth Chris, which I'd have been lucky if I would have, you know, got some potato chips or we would, you know, have some food. Bitch, right. Ruth Chris.
Right.
Getting, I mean, think about the prom and all of that. Like everything, like the prom is looking like the Victoria's Secret runway show now. It's like, well, bitch, keeping up with the Joneses is at an all-time high, right? And I think it's no exception for relationships and expression of relationships, right? Like if you got 12 balloons, I'm gonna have 144 balloons. And you made a good point, like, bitch, who is cleaning this shit up?
Right.
Like Cardi and them got a maze. Bitch, you better not put no 200 roses in my motherfucking living room. Who cleaning that up?
Right.
The all motherfucking pedals start falling all over the place.
Right.
And I did that one time when I had pedals going from the room and all over the bitch, and then I was up the whole next day cleaning all that shit up and oil, that lube. Make sure everything is water-based for Valentine's Day, y'all, because that lube and that sticky stuff and that licky stuff and that cherry stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Shit gets... Well, at least wear stuff you don't want to, that you might want to throw away, right? Don't put your good sheets on. Put your mid sheets
on.
Yeah,
you know? I'll get you a love blanket.
A love blanket. Yeah, okay. For Valentine's, a love blanket.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's very performative. I think it's going to be, and that's why, like, my thing is, I don't want to, I'm pumping the brakes on that. I'm not impressed by the performative at first. if you are my man, then let's play the game. But don't put the, what they say, the horse before the cart, or the cart before the horse.
The cart before the horse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, yeah, save the antics. So, like, what about you, like, a man just come to you, you know, y'all meet at HEB, you know, you picking up your order, he's bringing the food out to your car, you know, I'm imaginative, you know, you're doing your order at HEB, and you pop your trunk, and he brings his food out, and he's like, damn, Edmondson, you know, there's a lot of times that I've been seeing you come up here to get your pork rinds and pork you can get your barbecue pork rinds.
It wouldn't be that, but go ahead.
Yes. And your banana bread.
Oh, no.
And I've been looking at you. I've been seeing you. I want to, you know, well, I want to take you to, I don't know, Red Ash tomorrow. But I need you, no gym shoes, bow tie, like... Spark, what are you doing? Like, how are you taking that?
Without trying to sound stank. I mean, I would appreciate the gesture, but I would just have to be like, I just think that I appreciate you doing that, but I just really think that we need to get to know more about each other, just kind of without all of that first. So then once we get to that point, you'll know which way, what to do to actually... And you'll land it with something like that with me, where to actually be kind of, I hate to say, well, that's gonna sound stank, it'll just be more appropriate for me, because I'm not a one size fit all. I'm not one of them. You can't really I wouldn't say all this to them, but I would try to find a nice way to say it. But you can't just put me in that box and then think I'm gonna be impressed by the same stuff Kyrisha and them is impressed with. I'm not impressed with that same shit. I'm really not. And yeah, I would appreciate the gesture if he did it. And I would like, well, let's just, you know, talk. I would rather us just probably just sit and talk. That's my thing. Like, I feel like people don't even talk
boring,
to each
other.
Who, us?
I wouldn't say that. I would like go with what you're saying, but I'm like, we both saying we just want to talk. It's like, what is that about?
No, because that's what we come from. That's what we come from. We come from talking. We know we back in the day, when we met people and liked them, we talked on the phone with them for hours. We would do, you know what I'm saying? We have conversations, and that's how we would, that's just what we come from. We would get on the phone and talk to people. And a lot of times when I got on the phone and talk to people, you know, of course I would start liking them even more. Like that's just what we're used to. But now it doesn't seem like they just skip that part. That's why I feel like it's so performative, because I'm like, well, y'all don't even talk to each other. So y'all doing all this stuff and doing these girlfriend proposals and stuff like that. I watched a person do that with a man she met off Hinge. Did a girlfriend proposal and all this kind of stuff, and they was going on all these dates. Very performative, because they was talking about it on the internet. Didn't know nothing about each other. They were not equally yoked at all. And this is all the shit she said afterwards. Of course, she said all the horrible stuff about the relationship after we saw all the highlight reels of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I don't think we're boring to answer your question. I think me talking to you is going to help me get to know you and vice versa. And then we'll know what to do for each other when it comes to holidays and stuff like that. Because I'm the type of person, or like a Valentine's Day, I should say. Because I'm the type of person, you know, I listen and I remember. I'll put something back in my head. Oh, he mentioned this. I remember he said this. Won't tell that person, but I'm like, I remember they said that they like that. So it'll be something I remember, and it'll make that day more special or meaningful, because I actually got you something that, or remembered something that you said you wanted to do, and we're going to do that, as opposed to you trying to fit me into some cookie cutter bullshit, taking me to Nubu or Ruth Chris, and think I'm about to take you to Ruth Chris. Ruth Chris is not even a 5-star restaurant. That's another thing. I'm like, y'all hoes be talking about y'all want to go there all the time. That's not even a 5-star restaurant. That's not Michelin star. Like, you just go, oh, I'm going to take you there. I'm supposed to be impressed by that. Like, no, miss me with all of that. All of it. So for me, I'm with you. Talk. And I just think, get to know me so you'll know what actually type of stuff I would like to do and what would make Valentine's Day special for me. And all the pomp and circumstance and all the shit, social media type shit, it's cute. Again, it's cute. Maybe after you've done something else for me that speaks more to me than maybe I'm like, oh, well, this was cute that you did that. You know what I'm saying? It's still, you know, all that stuff on the bed. I mean, we're going to have to move all that stuff off before we start getting busy. I just wanted to just get right to it. I don't want to have to worry about all that. And then, you know, but that's just me. But yeah, and let's get to know each other. And then once we get to know each other, it can be something more simple. Give me an experience. I like experiences. So give me an experience, but don't give me one. Yeah, don't give me nothing, though, that you think, oh, you saw Jada Waiter. I don't give a fuck what that bitch got or what she got going on with her man. I don't give a fuck. Don't try to run this shit on me. Well, I saw what they was talking about this on Baddies. I don't give a fuck what none of them bitches is talking about what they got or what they want from their man on Baddies. You shouldn't even put me. I'm not even in the same category. I'm not one of them. We're not even on the same planet. Don't do that.
And
so,
I don't want no damn baddies, bitch. That's why I keep telling these niggas or these guys I'm talking to. I don't want all that. Don't be coming over here. No, shout out to all my females and all my reality or social media influencers and bitches who get in bags, baby daddies, turned that into their own career, baddies. Shout out to all y'all. I'm not interested in dating y'all, right? Like, that's not my flavor, you know. We're the bad bitches that's not trying to be them, right? Like, I want to see you and who you are and what it is that you want to do. Why are you following behind some other bitches because you see them on TV? You know what I'm saying? It's like, and you know, I hate followers. So that's a big turn off for me. I hate followers. Bitch, if you can't have you coming to me about something you ain't seen. I mean, I'm not saying we don't all be influenced or guided.
Yeah, we all are influenced. Right?
Yeah, but don't be coming to me trying to show. Yeah, I hate followers. Be your own person. And I think, and even thinking about my last relationship, why those Valentine's days were special to me, why I always think about them, even though I have no desire for that person, it was just that. Though they were special, right? Like we were, you know, set up the camera, set up our outfits, and it was intimate, right? And we never even shown these pictures, right? They never went to the internet like that, whatever. So they was something that we had, that we did, and we did breakfast. It was mimosas. But it was a time I remember and I think, again, going back, I think those were times that we reconnected, right? Like, we reconnected during that moment because it was bad, right? The relationship didn't last. It was bad. It had a lot of issues. But those times did make it like, oh, maybe this is my person. Maybe this can work. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's a real big part of it. I don't want to dismiss the second chance. So all you lovers out there, like, use this time if you want to fix something. Like, use Valentine's Day to fix it, right? Like, don't try to just use it as what you've seen on Blackish, right? Which I'm trying to watch Black. It's so crazy because today, like, watch Blackish is on Netflix. And I love Grownish. I'm just having a hard time. I just don't like Anthony Anderson character, the daddy. I mean, I know I'm off subject, but it's just, anyway. So I think it's, you know, customized, kind of like you saying, because I'm just imagining you, Eric, and somebody trying to take you. First of all, you don't even eat nothing on nobody's menu. So to take you and to spend $500 on a restaurant that you're not even going to eat nothing anyway, it's not going to do nothing for you. And I went to Nubu, Barcelona, overrated, spent all that money. The food was not that good. Okay. So I haven't been to all the Nubus, but I went to Nubu in Barcelona and it was not all that. Beautiful ambiance.
I'm sure.
Like that. But people was in there with gym shoes on. So it's like we put all this, you know, emphasis on these things that ain't all that, right? Like it's just regular. So I think, yeah. So for me, I think all the lovers out there, try not to be so cliche. Do what works for your relationship. Actually put your partner in mind. If your partner don't like roses, you don't have to get roses for Valentine's Day. I think it'd be so more cuter if you did get your partner their favorite flowers for Valentine's Day than roses. Why buy them a bunch of roses and they don't really care for roses, but you know that they love orchids, you know, they love sunflowers. I love sunflowers. If you gave me a bunch of sunflowers, I would probably do a backwards flip before I do a backwards flip for some roses. Now, roses will probably get me all like, oh, but bitch, if you just gave me some sunflowers, like the big one with the big thing, and bitch, and I had it in the house with these big ass sunflowers, bitch, you'll get a whole different kind of reaction out of me, right? Like, you know, and so that's what I'm saying. So I think there's nothing wrong with using Valentine's Day, but customize it. There is no one size fit all. And especially some of y'all grown niggas, step your cookies up. Step your cookies up. And everything don't have to be a pompous show. Like, you don't have to lead with nothing. Lead with your personality and your charm. You know, because, you know, that's all you're going to get from me. Bitch, I ain't spending no money on none of you hoes.
Oh. Okay. Well, I actually have another question, too, because we're kind of talking about, well, there you have it, any of the girls this weekend, if y'all see Tariq out or anything like that, I hope y'all don't have no expectation, like, oh, yeah, it's Valentine's Day, you're going to spend money, he just said it, he ain't spending no money on you, so there it is.
Well drinks, bitch, well drinks.
That's about it. So my next question is, even, we're talking about our experience as gay men. But I feel like, you know, of course, gay people should be able to celebrate the same holidays as, you know, heterosexual people. But I just, based off of how Valentine's Day is set up, or even the origins of Valentine's Day, like, I didn't know that Valentine's Day originally came, or Valentine's Day was a thing because it was people in the, I forget where exactly, but they didn't want people to get married during the wartime, because they felt like they was weaker if they got married. So people was sneaking off to get married by the Valentine's Day guy. He was secretly marrying them. So that's why, I guess, he got the namesake of Valentine's Day, because he was secretly marrying people that was involved in the war, because they, you know, I guess the governments or whatever, they didn't want men getting married because they thought they was weaker when they got married. Never knew that. So, anywho, and it changed after that. Then eventually people start buying cards and stuff like that for each other on Valentine's Day, and then it is what it is today. But back to the gays. I feel like, you know, because a lot of times gay people always say that we shouldn't follow heteronormative stuff and stuff like that. And like you just said, customize Valentine's Day. But I'm just I'm like, well, as gay, should we even celebrate it? Especially on some of the shit that some gay people on. But I guess what you say, if you customize it. I'm just like, you know, a lot of gay people nowadays, no shade, I'm not trying to sound bad, but they just all about image, sex. Very shallow shit. Like, it just doesn't seem like they are deep or want to get deep with people or get to know people for real. It just seems like everything's very surface, very performative, very kind of sort of fake, phony, and fraudulent. So, you know, I just wonder if sometimes we should even do it. But I actually do have a clip of a guy, and he's talking about gays and Valentine's Day and, like, you know, I guess his thoughts on how or what we could do as gays as far as celebrating this holiday. Let me set it up.
Okay, play it, Wendy. Play it. Shout out to Wendy Williams' mother, RIP.
Father.
Wendy.
Her mother's
father. Too. Father?
Her father passed.
Oh, father. Oh, my bad. Oh, that was... I'm sorry, Wendy.
Well, no, you were still... Your heart was in the right place.
Right.
Okay, so
I'm so full of love.
Yes, aren't we all?
Love, doctor.
Okay, so let's listen to him talk about Black gays in Valentine's Day.
Next Friday, and I'm speaking specifically to Black gay men. I'm going to push my self-love agenda because it's so necessary. I was having a conversation with my best friend last night, and we were just talking about the unfortunate tales of dating. While I hold a lot of anger and frustration for my friends and what they go through, or even situations that I've been through, there's always a small part of me that recognizes that for a lot of Black gay men, there is trauma involved. There's a lot of undiagnosed conditions going on. There's a lot of things that are being overlooked, and that's not to take anyone off the hook. Let me say that one more time. That is not to take anyone off the hook. But for me, it's very difficult for me to not acknowledge that. So I say that all to say, before everyone starts to go crazy buying flowers and, you know, I be seeing the tweets and I be seeing the content of Black gay men talking about they want to be in love and I want to be in a relationship and I want to have matching pajamas by Christmas. And while those things are cute, I need us to do some self-reflection. Because while I'm not going to tell you that you need to love yourself first before getting into a relationship, there has to be a level of awareness. There has to be a level of self-reflection. And I need everyone to understand their limitations, not in a negative way, but in a way that's productive, in a way that you can be proactive. I truly believe that you can be in partnership with someone while also working on yourself. It's not going to be easy. But if you and your partner both have an understanding of those limitations, things that could possibly get in the way of your relationships, but the love is enough for you to both be aware and both participate in the elevation of each other's growth. Like, ask yourself, are you ready for that type of commitment? Is that, because this is not a casual thing. And I feel like people treat relationships so casually. And I think it's important to have your own understanding and values of what a relationship looks like to you first. And be able to articulate that to the person you're interested in or the person you're talking to. Because everyone has different ideas of what a relationship should look like. For me, it's not a casual thing. We got to stop treating it like an accessory. We got to stop treating it like it's just something to do because you're bored or as a distraction. And I'm speaking to myself as well. Before the holiday rolls by, let's all do a collective pause, reflect for those of us that are looking to engage in a relationship. I know it's cold outside. But don't get caught up. Think about it first.
I mean, it's really nothing else to say, right? Like, I feel like he nailed it. He nailed it, right? Like, I think, again, it kind of goes back to what we said. Custom, it's no one size fit all, you know, thing when it comes to what a relationship is or your wants or your partner wants. It is very individualized, right? It is very individualized and you have to get to know that person. But like she said, you got to get to know yourself first, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how can you even have room to get to know somebody else if you don't know what you want? There's no room for it. There's no possible way for you to give parts of yourself for someone else to learn and love when you're blocking your own self from that. But that's just, it's just not going to happen, right? They're not going to get to know you, the real you. They're not going to get to love the real you. You're not going to be receiving it. You're going to be limited. Like you said, limitations are real. And I think every relationship is fucking different. I really stand by that. I'm just going to give a shout out to Anya and Vaughn again. Regardless of what the people in the years and years have said, the motherfuckers are still together. It's bonkers. I think that's the oldest gay relationship I know. But that was the most rockiest relationship for the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Like, all with that, and whatever their relationship is very much theirs, right? Like, it's not like none other that I've ever seen. And I think that's the point that I'm making, right? Like, you can't look at my friend Anya and Vaughn like, that's what I want. You should not look at that and be like, that's what I want, right? You have to be able to be like, that's beautiful for them and it works for them. But to think that that's going to work for you or it's going to last that long doing what they do and you're not neither one of them is a form of insanity. But it's not, I wouldn't even say just insanity. It's a form of coping with trauma. Like he said, right? A lot of what we're going through, like I said to this day, I survived the Aries. It's a joke. But that statement came with a lot of therapy. It comes with a lot of self-reflection and a reflection of that relationship. Like, I had to name it, I survived the Aries, for me to be able to recognize what that relationship did to me. Like, I couldn't just go on like that did nothing to me, right? Like, that wasn't fair to myself or just people around me, right? Like, I had to shout it from the rooftop. And I think, yeah, he nailed it. I mean, I know I said I had nothing to say and I said a lot, but I'm just regurgitating what he said and just putting my spin on it because he nailed it.
I think one of the things that stood out to me is him talking about loving yourself. And I think that if all the people out there who does not have a boo or a bae this Saturday, I think loving on yourself and learning how to love on yourself, honestly, maybe that's something that you should do. And do it however, or do it whichever way that means for you. So then when you do get in a relationship, you'll know what to tell the next person. Because like, well, I did this for myself on Valentine's Day and I really enjoyed it. So this is something I know that I like or something I'd appreciate. Maybe you need to figure out things that you yourself like and not what Karisha and Ari and Jada Wade and them is telling you. Maybe you need to figure out for yourself what you actually like, what you actually like to do. For example, not to toot my own horn, but I like to go outside and walk on trails. That's what I did on my birthday. That's something very simple, but that's something I like to do. I like to get air, walk, and people watch. And that's something, you know, so that I could, that's something I could do with my man or my boo eventually, if, you know, and if that's something that they should know. So yeah, loving on yourself and knowing how to love yourself first is very important, and not just relying or putting that power or giving that power to your partner to try to make them make you happy, or make them make you happy from stuff that they're doing for you and all this kind of stuff. And you take me to new boo and all that kind of stuff. And that's supposed to, you're still not happy because that ain't really what makes you happy. You just following, you just trying to be part of the Get Fresh crew. That ain't what you really like. So you need, if first and foremost, before you think about any, whether you're in a relationship or not, you have to know how to love yourself first. And, you know, yeah, do that work to love on yourself and do things for yourself, because then you'll be able to communicate, or at least people be able to see the things that you do that to love on yourself, or see things that you do for yourself, maybe when you're by yourself, that makes you happy. That's why I'm a big, you know, I say go on solo dates, do stuff like that, do stuff on your own, go out by yourself, because it teaches you. Well, it doesn't necessarily teach you, because if you already like it, but it can help you in just realizing the things that you like to do that might be outside of the norm of what other people like to do. Like I went, made some candles. I like making candles. You know what I'm saying? I took a cooking class. I actually want to learn how to cook. And it was kind of cool just being in the cooking class, cook with other people. I think I would go back, and this would be something nice that I could do with my partner. You know what I'm saying? So that can jog your memory to, not jog your memory, that can kind of put some, what I want to say, it could just give you ideas or just help you when you get in a relationship with somebody else to help them love you without them doing stuff that everybody else do.
No. And I think, yeah, I think just the last thing I could say to that is, I think loving yourself is the hard part.
Yeah.
So that's the work. I feel like once we figure that out as a collective, a lot of this relationship or these anticipations or expectations that's not been fulfilled, or this shallowness and all these things that, you know, like he was saying, and some of the stuff that you said, or even some of the stuff I'm saying, will probably be not as bad if everybody did the work of themselves, because that's the hard job. Right, we're jumping in, we're skipping that part, right? And so that's what I'm, just to go back to what you're saying, and like you said, it's not easy. And just because you skipped it, it don't go away. It becomes trauma.
Right.
It becomes rooted, you know, insecurities, rooted, personality, you know, weird personality traits or different things, you know, because I agree, once you figure that stuff about yourself, I think it'll be, and I'm one of them, right? Like, I think it would be easier for somebody to love you because you would know how to step up to the plate. Like, the pressure ain't for them to love you and in place of you loving yourself. That's what it is. We're looking for somebody else to fill voids in ourselves that they can't fulfill for you.
Mm-hmm. That's like all y'all young hoes. No, go ahead. I ain't want to cut you off. That part.
Your daddy. These men, that ain't your mama. You know, that ain't your the homegirl that broke your heart. That ain't your baby mama. That ain't your baby mama from 3 babies ago. You know, that ain't your baby daddy that, you know, did you wrong, right? Like, it's all treated or I don't want to say recognize, because sometimes you can recognize it and just leave it on the table, right? Like, leave it on the stove, right? Like, you know the pot is hot. So, yes, we need to work on ourselves, on loving ourselves, because what's that comment? If you can't love yourself, I don't know if I want to quote RuPaul. Let's not quote RuPaul, you know. I have mixed feelings about RuPaul sometimes, so.
Oh, wow.
But if you can't love yourself, how the hell can you love somebody else? Is that how it goes?
I didn't know that, so he said that. But
she said at the end of every episode of Drag Race. But
okay.
Yeah, I don't know when Valentine's Day, probably gonna pass by the time y'all see this episode, but I think the message is you lovers out there, enjoy the time with your partner. You singles out there, I say get it in. You know, I'm sexually liberated. If you ain't bust no nuts, ain't had no sex. And if you somebody's single, don't think too hard about it. Just have sex and move on. You're like, don't try to make Valentine's Day an entry to a relationship. That's weird. That's weird.
Oh, no. No.
That's why I said don't try to do too much. Just be simple.
Yeah, no. And if you're not, trying to give nobody no cookies, I would say do something nice for yourself. And all y'all little young hoes out here, listen to Auntie.
Well, give yourself some cookies.
Well, you could buy yourself some
cookies.
Cookie. Or a tuna
make
sub.
Crumble.
Or
make
a
tuna
sub.
That cookie crumble.
Yeah. So, yeah. Get yourself, if that's what you, if you can make yourself get a tuna sub, then you can do that too. But I'm trying to get out of the sex. I'm just saying, if that's not what your goal is, y'all young hoes out here, I want y'all to start getting yourself experiences that y'all be asking these niggas for. Like, if you really like to go to 5-star restaurants, you need to go on your own by yourself on Valentine's Day.
Sound effect.
Wait, what sound one? I don't know. Oh, wait, maybe Carisha. But yeah, you need to. I can't find it. Oh, here we go.
See when you see them two fingers touching.
Yeah.
if you want to go on a shopping spree, take yourself on a shopping spree. If you want these experiences, do it for yourself, and that's part of loving yourself. Because I have a YouTube girlfriend that she does all this stuff for herself, so when she gets girlfriends, they already know what to do when they get with her, because she does this stuff on her own. Her lifestyle is that's what she does. So y'all need to stop expecting these niggas to make this shit happen for you and make you happy and all that kind of. If that's truly what makes you happy on Saturday,
do it
for yourself.
I think that's a good way to end it, bitch. Do it for yourself.
That part.
Thank y'all for listening to another episode of What Works for Us. Holla.
Holla. Happy Valentine's Day.
Love, 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 love.
I'll carry you through.